everyone, and welcome to Minute 40 of Season 12 of Move Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we dig our way through the 1994 award-not-winning film, The Shawshank Redemption, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and join me once again in order to finish off the week is Jess Rogers-Pearson. Welcome back for one final episode this week, Jess.
Thanks for having me, Rob. It's been a great week.
Yes, it is. It is. We've had some very interesting conversations of things that is why you do this.
Absolutely.
Minute 40 begins with Andy trying to sell the idea of chess and ends with Red doing his best impression of Hitchcock. Anything's yesterday. You know, we had the whole beer scene, and then we saw Andy and Red briefly playing checkers, and Andy brings up the idea of chess. And he basically only says one thing about it. He says, civilized. And today he continues and says, strategic. And Red looks at him and goes, and a total f***ing mystery. I hate it. And he goes, well, maybe you'll let me teach you someday. Red goes, yeah, sure. And he then goes, I've been thinking of getting a board together. Well, hey, you're talking to the right man. I'm the guy who can get things, right? And he goes, well, we might do business on a board, but I want to carve the pieces myself. One side in alabaster, the opposing side in soapstone. What do you think? I think it'll take you years. Well, here's what I got. What I don't have are the rocks. Pickings are pretty slim in the yard. Pebbles mostly. And we see that, Red pauses for a second and it ponders debating the asking a question or not. And we'll get there in a second. So, I mean, it's an interesting conversation with the two of them about the idea of, they're having this friendly game, but then somehow it starts changing into the idea of business.
Yeah. And clearly Andy's thinking through how he would build them and wanting to carve. And I've never quite understood in this moment what he's actually asking Red for. What I don't have are the rocks. Is he asking Red for something in that moment? Or
I think he is.
He's
asking for it. He wants Red to be able to help him. I mean, we'll see this later that, people outside that are working outside of the fence have more of an option of finding these type of rocks.
Right.
So that's what he's asking for. He's asking, okay, so, we know that, Murphy works outside of the fence. So maybe, we can pay him, maybe Red can use his connections in order to pay Murphy to be able to bring in the rocks. I mean, Murphy, and again, this fictional character of Murphy that I'm talking about is not a guard. It's one of the inmates. The idea of getting an inmate to bring in rocks. I mean, I don't think he's going to be doing like he did with the laundry guy, where he's going to be paying someone to bring something from outside. You're not going to go say, okay, bring me some rocks.
Yeah. Things like that. It's just, it sort of ends, and then Red never acknowledges, okay, I can get your rocks.
Right. That's true. Well, but I think that's a given.
Yeah, I guess.
I think it's a given. Because Andy's basically saying, okay, I'm going to need one. I want you to help me get a board, and I'm going to need you to help me find some rocks that I can then carve myself.
Right.
I mean, it's assumed at this point, because we'll find out very shortly, that I think it's in 2 weeks we'll find this out, that he has these rock blankets and things like that. Like it's already a known thing that Red must be getting Andy things related to rocks besides the rock that he got 2 years earlier.
Yeah.
That type of thing. Okay, so we talked about the game of chess. How far back do you think the game of chess goes?
Game of Kings. So probably almost as far, but more into the kings and emperors. So 1000 BC, I don't know.
It goes back to the 6th century AD. So
Okay, so not
it's
as far
about
as Chester. Okay.
1500 years type of thing.
Yeah.
And it was in a game that was invented in India.
Okay.
The game was originally called Chaturanga, which the term Chaturanga translates into four divisions of the military, which represent infantry, cavalry, elephants, and chariots. And so
That makes sense.
basically these pieces evolved into the pawn, knight, bishop, and rook. And
Sure.
it was played on an 8x8 grid at the time. And then a century later in Persia, and the game evolved a little bit, and it changed a little bit because they added the idea of a king and things like that. And they added the bishop, and but the idea was is that the bishop could only jump. It wasn't called the bishop, obviously, but it could only jump two squares diagonally, and
Oh,
the queen was able to move only one square diagonally. And then again, over the
okay.
centuries, the game evolved even more. And they added in the idea of basically we have the king, the queen, the bishop, the knight, the rook, and the pawn. And then in the late 15th century, the idea, this happened in 1475 in Spain. They decided they wanted to find a way to speed up the game because the game was going a little too slow, and they started changing the way that the different pieces moved. So they said that the queen now would become a what was known as a power queen, because it used to be the weakest piece on the board, and now it became the most powerful because it was able to
Sure.
do exactly what the rook and the bishop could do together.
Oh,
And
yeah.
so you would call it the Mad Queen, the Mad Queen Chess. And at this
Okay.
time, they also changed that the bishop can move infinitely along any open diagonals that they had. They also added the
Nice.
idea of the fact that a pawn who's starting off at the beginning can go two spaces, and also the whole idea of castling. So again, it's still been around for was it it's about 600 years now. I know it's 600, a little less,
Right on.
550, since they've been doing that. And then the game just kept getting more intense and more intense with the type of stuff. The very first tournament of chess took place in London in 1851, and
Wow.
just 5 years later they had a world championship where Wilhelm Steinitz became the first official world chess champion.
Wow.
Obviously, there's the big thing of what happened in 1997, where IBM's computer Deep Blue played against Garry Kasparov in a six-game match, and Deep Blue eventually won.
Yeah.
So yeah, it has evolved a lot over the years. But it's interesting how something like this, because chess is a very popular game. Are you a chess player?
I am not a good chess player, but I know how to
Okay,
play.
I fall into that same category. And I like I'm
I'm
willing to
willing to
play like
play.
one or two games at a time. It's not like I will constantly play.
No. I'll get into it for a little while, especially playing on a computer so I can practice and give up when I have no strategy left. But it'd be interesting to go back to it. I don't think I've played it in 5 or 10 years.
Okay, makes sense. And I guess online, when you play online games, it makes it a little easier, because you get to learn how to do different things, that way. And you don't have to worry about someone looking at you and saying, "Oh, you don't know how to play this. You don't know how to do this well. Just follow
Right.
these short little rules or whatever it is, or suggestions."
Yeah, that's part of what always bothered me just a little about Red's reaction to it. Sure, I could say a total f***ing mystery, But why bother hating chess unless it's something that's come up in his world a lot, right? Like, that's a strong feeling to say I hate chess, that is something that's a total f-ing mystery. Though that concept that Red hates it has always like stuck with me, that
Okay,
it's
but I think I
odd.
can understand it because I think it has a lot to do with I think it's a social thing because Andy is from high
Sure.
society and Red presumably is from a lower
Right.
society. Okay, so in high society, you're going to play chess.
Right,
You're
because
not
he's
necessarily
wild.
going to play chess in the lower society. In the lower society, you're going to be playing checkers.
Sure. Yes. And we know that Red went to prison when he was
That's right.
18, so he didn't go to college. And presumably, Andy, as a banker,
Right.
probably went to college.
Correct.
Although, how World War II fits into their, especially Andy's past, we don't know.
Again, the assumption is that Andy served in World War II. Unless he was doing banking business on the side and wasn't needed.
Right.
But then again, looking at famous World War II movies, the bankers still went to war also. I
For
mean,
sure.
have you ever seen The Best Years of Our Lives?
Yes, it was one of our podcasts because it won Best Picture.
I know. So Al is a banker. Al Stevenson is a banker. And so obviously, bankers like him would go off to war as an infantry sergeant. That would work. And have you ever seen Kelly's Heroes?
No, but I know I may have seen it as a child, but I haven't seen it recently.
Okay, so Don Rickles plays a wheeler dealer whose name is Crapshoot. And he's a guy who knows finances, let's put it that way, when he's trying to figure out how much the gold is worth and stuff like that.
Right.
So it it definitely fits in
Sure.
with that. So I like the way that they that so bankers. My assumption is that Andy probably did something during World War II.
Sure.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
We can't say exactly what he did, but he did something. Again, it isn't something that ever came up. I don't recall that it mentions anything in the book because I don't think it's really relevant.
Right. No, I don't think it
But
is. But it's a detail of curiosity, like where were you when X happened?
right. I mean, Red was in prison. That we know.
Right.
But where was Andy? No, the only time it mentions World War II here is the idea of that he's like dispersing his wall in the courtyard, and
Oh.
they mentioned in the book like World War II POWs did,
Oh, okay.
which if you've seen The Great Escape,
Yep.
that's what they did also.
Right.
So yeah,
Okay.
that's one of the so that's the only connection that they really have here in the book where they mentioned the term World War II. But basically at this point we see that Red pauses and ponders, and they do a great job of letting us see the face of Morgan Freeman as he's thinking this through.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the biggest selling points of his character here. Is that he knows how to make us see that even though he is a, I guess, street smart, lower social level character, he's still quite bright
Yeah, for sure.
and thinks through everything. So again, it's a nice way, he's it. You also get the impression that he's been waiting a very long time to ask the question that he's about to ask.
Yeah.
And he finally feels that he's at the point where he can ask that question. He darts his eyes back and forth and looks over to the, he looks to the right before he starts asking the question. The biggest question is Red trying to change the subject, not to be able to talk about chess anymore because it's a mystery to him?
Right.
Or, it's like, what can I talk about instead of talking about chess? And then, he looks at Andy and he goes, "Andy, we're getting to be kind of friends, ain't we?" And he goes, "Yeah, I guess so." He goes, "Can I ask you something?" And he doesn't even wait for a response. He just goes, "Why'd you do it?" And it's very interesting that Red believes that Andy did it.
Right, but the part that he says here is very clear he kind of believes Andy has a reason. That's what he's kind of asking. He's like, I believe that you did it, but I also think you had a real reason for doing it.
Well, again, I'm not trying to defend murder at any point, but anyone who murders has a reason. It might be a bad reason, but they have a reason.
Right. And I think Red's trying to
You know.
figure that part out, right? Is it a good reason or a bad reason?
Well, is Andy, is it that Andy might answer his question that, okay, well, I was drunk. I
Right.
was pissed off and I was drunk. That could be the answer too.
I mean, Red's coming from it, having been the only guilty man in Shawshank.
That's correct. And again, the book talks about what Red did in order to get into Shawshank. Red basically decided that he wanted his wife's money, and basically cut the brake wire in the car, and he didn't realize that she would also be picking up the neighbor and her neighbor the neighbor's son, and all three of them were killed in an accident
Oh, wow.
because there were no brakes. That was the way they describe it in the book. So again, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but in the book, Red is an Irish guy. He really is.
Yeah, I didn't.
They originally wanted Robert Redford to play the character,
Oh, wow.
just to give
Very
you
different
to
movie.
make a very different movie, but also to give you a good visual as to what King believed Red was meant to look like and be. And
Sure.
in the book, he mentions, because I'm Irish, and that's a real line, and here they turn that into a joke.
Right.
Which the joke obviously works really well from
Yeah,
that perspective.
perfectly.
Again, his name is Ellis Redding, so it doesn't take a genius to figure out where the red comes from at that point.
Yeah.
And it's also another interesting thing. I mean, I brought up now that maybe Red, maybe Andy would have said that he was drunk, and now that he stopped drinking and everything like that. But in the book, he does not stop drinking.
Ah, okay.
He would order twice a year a bottle of, I think, scotch from Red, and he would on his twice a year on his birthday and like right before Christmas. And like on his birthday, he would take like one drink, I think, at night, and one drink in the morning, and then one drink on Christmas and one drink on New Year's, and then whatever was left, he gave to he gave it back to Red to give to whoever wanted, that type of thing.
Wow, yeah, interesting.
Again, it's not needed for the movie. It's better that he does say that
No.
he stopped drinking and that's it. But it's an interesting contrast between the two of them there. And Andy responds to Red by saying, "I'm innocent, Red, just like everyone else here." Again, we see that Andy now knows how to play the game in Shawshank from that perspective
Right.
of basically saying, "Okay, none of us are guilty.
We're
We're
all
all
in.
innocent. We're all innocent the entire time." And I've always had a problem with the way that Tim Robbins delivers this line. It feels too manufactured, the way that he says it. Like when was it last week or 2 weeks ago when Haywood says, "I didn't do it, Laura f***ed me." So from
Right.
that sounded very
Practice.
natural.
Yeah.
And also, when Red tells him everyone here is innocent, that type of thing. But when Andy repeats it, it just doesn't sound as authentic, I guess you can say.
Right. And yet it's the truth.
Yes.
I'm innocent. It's the just like everybody else here. That throws off that line reading. I agree. It's not as clean. Or maybe it's just intentional to continue to be mysterious.
Oh, of course. The movie's idea is to keep us in suspense for as long as possible, especially
Oh, absolutely.
since Red is the narrator. When is
Right.
Red telling this story? Red is telling this story probably on his way to
That's an
watch a Cheneo, that type of thing.
Yeah.
That would be my guess.
Yeah.
That
Yeah,
because
narrating
again, I mean, this is something that I've discussed with a number of my guests over the season so far, is who do you think is the main character here?
I've always thought it was Andy, but yeah, I think it's a reasonable question.
I mean, my theory is that it's Red, because Red is
Fair.
telling this story.
Yeah.
Again, it could be seen both ways. It doesn't just because he's the
I
narrator
agree.
doesn't necessarily mean he's the main character. But that's the way I look at it. I mean, again, in the book, it's clearly that way.
Yeah, and the Andy's sort of framed as a main character, but we never get Andy's point of view on anything.
On,
We get Andy alone,
when he's
but it's
drunk,
only potentially,
we get
yes.
his perspective when he's drunk.
So before he meets Red, yes. And then it's just Red's interpretation, right? Every scene that Red's not in with him is still Red's interpretation of what he knows must have happened.
Exactly. And I like the way they do that.
Agreed.
It works well. Andy then shoots back at him and goes, "Well, what are you in for?" And I just find it really funny that it took them 2 years to have this conversation.
I know. It's clearly a culture you just don't ask because then everyone's innocent.
I guess so. Or
Yes.
maybe it's the idea of everyone trying to, keep their history to themselves type of thing.
Yeah, fair.
Like, you don't need to hear everyone else's history about it. That type
Yeah. Makes
of thing.
sense.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the way that fits in there. And Red just looks at him and goes, "Murder." No, he doesn't say it in that voice, but I always remember that I saw something where Hitchcock says it that way, and he goes, "Murder." And Red just says, "Murder."
Murder, same as you.
More or less.
Yeah, it's such a clearly he knows about what Andy did because everybody calls him the wife killing
That's right.
banker.
Again, you have to have a reputation in prison, so why not?
Sure.
So why not be known as the wife killing banker? If you're going to be known as something, let's go with
Yeah.
that. All right, and that is way the way that this minute ends. So did you have anything else you wanted to add about this minute or about the movie in general?
I really look forward to hearing the rest of these minutes as we go through, and I need to rewatch it yet again to see all of it. I tried to stay just tight to my 5 minutes so that I didn't get too much out of our little sequence. But yeah, this is such an amazing movie. There's so much even in just this
Yeah,
5 minutes.
I totally agree. And I also look forward to hearing what everyone's going to say over the next 102 minutes that are left. Yes. All right. So today's segment is called Weekend Break, where my guests will give their top five prison break movies.
So my number five, and some of these it's harder to look at exactly the prison break. Like some of them the prison isn't really in the movie in the same way, and some of it's breaking in and out. So number five is Guardians of the Galaxy, because Rocket's amazing way of getting out of that prison is just
And I need that guy's
perfect.
fake leg.
Yeah, the fake leg. so good. Number four is not exactly a prison break. It's sort of a break in and a break out. It's The Rock, looking at Alcatraz, and then continuing with Nicolas Cage, you end up with Con Air. Again, there's not an actual prison in the movie, but they are still trying to escape by stealing the plane.
No, that's fine, and Jane Mark will be very happy that you put that on your list
Good. Number two is Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Because them wanting to escape and just get away is such a perfect chain gang attempt. And then continuing with Clooney, number one is Out of Sight. It was on the list. He's trying to get away. He runs into Jennifer Lopez, and the scene in the trunk is cinematic perfection.
Yeah, and I like the various connections that they do between that movie and Jackie Brown.
Gotcha.
I like that, and I'm also a big fan of Out of Sight. I loved the end of it because of the way everything just
Yeah.
plays out, like not what you would
No,
expect at all.
nothing. It's somehow a big mystery, and then you're getting to see how it all played out. It's so well done.
Fully agree. All right, let's play the two games. So again, you want to choose which one you want to start with?
Let's do high low second.
Okay, so we will start with name that novel adaptation. So spin the wheel and see See what
See if
you
I can get one for five. I mean, technically, I guess I got yesterday's, but not without a lot of
Oh, hints,
hints.
hints are there to tell, so you don't have to worry about that. Right, this is a movie from 2006 called, where the original story is called The Stone of Grief.
Stone of Grief, 2006. The only movies that keep coming to mind are ones that have the same name as their book. Can you
It
give me a
was
hint?
directed by Edward Zwick.
Oh, wow. Stone of Grief. Who starred in it? Or is
No,
that too
it's
much of a hint?
Leonardo DiCaprio in Digimon Hunsan. Exactly.
Oh, Blood Diamond. Nice. Stone of Grief. That's a good
Yes,
title.
I agree. So, all
But
right.
yeah, people wouldn't have known what the movie was about.
No. No. And Blood Diamond is a little bit in your face with what the movie's about, but still, it works. All right, so let's now play the second game of High Low. Let's spin the wheel and see what you get. Right, the 2014 film Selma.
Thelma. Ooh, that's such a good movie. About Martin Luther King Jr. With David Oyelowo. He's very good.
I'm a big fan of that movie. I love that movie, and I was so upset that it didn't get more nominations. I got two nominations for Best Song and Best Picture. That was it.
Wow.
Needed more. And it won Best Song.
Right. And he is so good in it. Okay, so IMDb probably gives it, I don't know, maybe an 8.3. I'm probably overshooting, but I bet Rotten Tomatoes gives it a 96.
Well, you were definitely closer on the Rotten Tomatoes. Rotten Tomatoes is a 99.
Wow, yeah. What did IMDb?
IMDb 7.5.
7.5. That stinks. It's way better than that.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. They were wrong. It's much closer to the 8.3 that you said.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, your next one is the 1983 film The Dresser with Albert Finney.
1983 with Albert Finney. Is that the one they remade with Kate Winslet?
No, that's the
No,
isn't it called The
that's
Dressmaker
the
or something?
Dressmaker. Yes. I'm remembering The Dresser. IMDb probably gives it a 7.7, and Rotten Tomatoes probably an 80.
All right.
About?
So it's a 7.5. So you're very close there.
Okay.
And
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes gives it a 92.
Oh, wow. Okay. People really liked Albert Finney for a lot of time.
Yes. That's very true.
You don't, not that I dislike him. He just is an odd leading man
That
character.
is true. That is true. All right, so let's spin the wheel for the last time today for you with your last choice on High Low. Let's go all the way back to 1967 with the movie Bonnie and Clyde.
Ooh, Bonnie and Clyde. I would bet IMDb has like 8.9, and Rotten Tomatoes a 97.
No, you overshot both of those. It's a 7.7 and 89%.
Okay. Fair.
I actually
I
would have.
definitely did.
I'm actually surprised that it is so low. I would expect both of those should have been a little higher.
I agree. Especially for a
But
slightly older
oh well.
film. I'm surprised Rotten
Yeah.
Tomatoes is so low. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. So Jess, would you like to once again tell everyone where they can find you?
You can listen to old episodes of my podcast on Real Insight, which is still on various streaming platforms. And you can find me on Threads at Eco River.
All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, movieroundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to rob@movierob.net. So, Jess, thank you very much for joining me this week. It's been a lot of fun. I
Thank you for
appreciate you
having
coming
me.
back into the fold in order to try and dig your way out
Always.
of Shawshank. And I will be back on Monday with a new guest. So everyone have a great weekend, and until then, get busy living.
Or get busy dying.